Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Good morning. Are we all doing well? Blessed Good Friday. What a Friday it is. You're right there, Megs. Good. Can we give these prophetic painters a massive round of applause? You know what pressure it is to be up here? Wow. Before I dismiss James and the team, Megs, you can continue. You don't have to stop. I just want to give us a bit of a synopsis of last week. We are busy with the series, Jesus the Person. This season is all about Jesus. And last week we wrestled with the humanity of Jesus. The podcast is online. If you haven't heard it, please go and listen to it. The humanity of Jesus, looking at Jesus as the Son of Man, how he modeled a life for us, empowered by Holy Spirit, but fully surrendered to the Father. And this week, very fitting, we are stepping into that next level of that revelation of Jesus the person looking at the Lamb of God. This is also, I mean, prophetically, the picture that was painted there. I have to mention that I didn't even speak to Erin, Pastor Erin, about what I was preaching on. She asked Holy Spirit, and that's what God gave her to paint today. So we know God is here. We know God has an appointment with each and every single one of us. So before we start, can we pray? Just bow our heads, close our eyes, maybe even hold your hands out. Jesus, we commit this day to you. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to have ears to hear. Help us to have eyes to see afresh. And help us to have a heart that will receive this word. And as we do, it will transform us. It will ignite us. It will empower us so that we can walk as your true sons and daughters of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks, James. Thanks, team. I just want to say off the cuff, parents, don't worry about your kids. It's okay. Don't shh them. You don't have to shh them. It's fine. They can talk loud. It's good to have them in the house. Amen? Amen. I'd rather have them here than out on the streets somewhere down the track. It starts here. I want to start by looking at the declaration that changed history. It changed the course of history. And that was in John 1:29. So if you've got your Bibles, it's always good to have physical Bibles here at Pneuma East. I would like you to turn to John 1, verses 29. And the phrase that changed history, the declaration that changed history, was John the Baptist, who was busy baptizing in the Jordan River, when this man came along walking towards him, and he said this, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Folks, that is not a throwaway line. That is not a line that was just said because he felt like he had to impress somebody. For the Jewish audience, this statement was explosive. For the Jewish audience, this statement was challenging. was contradicting, very similar to what we encountered and experienced last week as we unpacked his humanity. It actually connected Jesus directly to the Passover, which we'll discuss later on, the sacrificial system, and ultimately God's plan for redemption. It was explosive. It made the religious scholars, the religious people squirm. It made them, their toes curl up. But he didn't just say it. It wasn't just a saying. It was a declaration that changed the course of history. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions, which I hope will bring a revelation to you. The first question is, why a lamb? Well, imagine the lamb as a significant role in the course of your life. It's deeply rooted in the culture, in the Jewish culture back then, and it is also rooted in Scripture. In Exodus 12, verses 5 to 13, it reads as follows. It'll be on the back. And I'm reading out of the NIV as follows. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. Very crucial. You got your Bible? Underline that. Without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Verse 6, take care of them until the 14th day of the month when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Crucial, where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire. There's your permission to have a barbecue. If you're from South Africa, have a braai. Eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Verse 9. Do not, God is very, very informative, has a lot of instructions. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Verse 10, do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. Verse 11, this is how you are to eat it. He even tells you how to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. That says to me, you've only got one hand. But anyway, eat it in haste, he says. It is the Lord's Passover. That's interesting. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, on the same night, I will pass. On the same night that you do this, I will pass through Egypt. Remember, this is God speaking here. And strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Hello, if you didn't notice, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, he says. The blood will be, very important, the blood will be a sign for you, not for him, for you. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destruction, plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Excuse me. The Israelites are instructed to sacrifice a spotless lamb, one without defect, applying the blood of that lamb to their doorposts, and death would pass over them. The lamb was to be without blemish, pure, innocent. Actually, it was to be a substitute. Why a lamb for a substitute, you would ask? As we have read, the lamb served as a substitute for judgment. Judgment. God was about to bring judgment on Egypt by striking down every firstborn. But out of his love for his people, he provided a way of protection for them. He loved his people so much that he protected them and he gave them this instruction. So instead of the firstborn of his people dying, the spotless lamb died in their place. What was crucial? The blood. Everybody say the blood. the blood. It was placed on the doors, on the doorpost as signs to God. Here we are, Lord. We are yours, Lord. We have done what you commanded. Hear what I'm saying. It was a sign to God. In this house is your people. And with the blood that you see, we are letting you know we have done what you have commanded. And of course, we know the story now. When God saw the blood, he passed over that house in Exodus 12, 13. This is a powerful picture of innocent blood from a lamb without defect, unblemished on the doorposts of the houses. And because it was there, the spirit of death passed over. What was the result? There was life. There was a future guaranteed. I saw a movie of this once upon a time. And something that was etched into my memories was they did such a brilliant job. They showed the sun rising the next morning. And you heard these blood-curdling screams and cries of the Egyptian mothers who got up to find that their firstborn had died. But it didn't happen in the Jewish camp. The spirit of death passed over. What they didn't know back then, though, what was unbeknown to the people of God, was that this was a shadow of something greater. You see, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would come later on and die in our place to save us from eternal judgment, give us a hope and seal a future. One that John the Baptist identified. We've got to stop and ask ourselves the question, why a human sacrifice? It's a very good question. Why did God need a human sacrifice? Why couldn't he just bring another lamb along the path? The simple answer is he actually didn't need it the way we think he needed it. You see, what justice required, love, capital L, God is love, capital L, love provided. What justice required, love provided. Why was justice required? Let me give you a synopsis. Sin entered the world through man, through Adam and Eve, who ate the fruit. And with it came death. What did we speak about in Exodus? The spirit of death. Because of that, human life was required. A human life was required to make atonement, but no, there was no ordinary man, any ordinary human who could pay that price because all were under sin. So only a perfect human could pay that. And nobody who walked on the planet qualified until Jesus, fully God, fully man, came into the story. Hebrews 2, verse 17, New Living Translation, spells it out beautifully. It was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us. I love it. It was necessary. It wasn't a good idea. It was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, like you and me. Why? So that. The scripture says that, so that he could be our merciful, faithful high priest before God. Then he could. He only could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of these people if he, first of all, was made in every respect like us. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Let me repeat myself. What justice required, love provided. You see, it was the Father's love. It was the Father's love. I don't know if you know this, folks, but we serve a good God. We serve a good Father, and the Father loves us unconditionally. The Father's love, His justice and His mercy drove Him, and He chose a way. He chose, it was a choice. He chose a way that would satisfy His righteousness and demonstrate His love through a human sacrifice, and that was sending His one and only begotten Son, who was known as Jesus, the Son of God, to walk as Jesus, the Son of Man, and as the Apostle John so rightly identified, be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We have hope. Look at your neighbor and say, you have hope. You have hope. Look at the other neighbor and say, I don't know if you heard that, but you have hope. A man was a requirement. Listen to this. This was a revelation. A man was a requirement. Remember, blood is crucial in the sacrifice of the lamb. It was the blood on the doorposts. A man was required. Why? Because God couldn't bleed. Wow. A man was required because a spirit doesn't die. Only a man could bleed. And only a man could die in the place of men. And Jesus had to be fully human to be the Lamb of God. Last week, we unpacked the scripture, and I want to look at it again in Philippians 2:8. He humbled himself and became vulnerable. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing. He chose to be revealed as a man and was obedient. He was perfected, a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. He was a perfect example. Last week I said, we cannot imitate God, but we can follow a model. He modeled for us. Go listen to the message last week. He modeled a life for us that you and I can live. He chose to be revealed as a man. He was a perfect example, even in his death. His humanity made him vulnerable. He was able to suffer. He was able to feel pain. He was able to bleed. And ultimately, he was able to die. He wasn't just a man. He was a man without sin, as we have read in Hebrews 4:15. A man without sin. And was there? He was therefore the only spotless lamb humanity could offer. This is why the enemy tried so hard to attempt him. This is why the enemy tried so hard to discredit him. This is why the enemy tried so hard to kill him prematurely. You see, if Jesus had of sinned, his death would have meant absolutely nothing. But he didn't. He remained sinless. He remained that spotless lamb. So the next question is, why did Jesus, the Son of Man, die? Great question. Isaiah 53:5-6, the New Living Translation again, just describes it so beautiful. It says, he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. Listen to that. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet, the Lord laid on him all the sins of all of us. Yet, can I ask, which path are you currently on? Be real with yourself. This is a wake-up call. If you're part of our Pneuma East family and all of our friends that are visiting today, here at Pneuma East, I have to challenge. Otherwise, I'm not doing my job. What path are you on? Are you on God's path? Or are you still on your own path? Scripture says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Folks, you don't have to be on your path anymore. God did this. Why did he do this? Because he wanted you back on his path. That is why Jesus died in your place and in my place as the sacrificial lamb. He took on our punishment so we could be reconciled with Father, that we could get back onto God's path. You see, Jesus didn't just die for us, he died as us. He didn't die for us, he died as us. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus, the Son of Man, divine, actually died. Why did Jesus, the Son of Man, have to die? Here it comes, because there was a divine exchange that happened. You see, he was pierced for your and my rebellion, so we could be sons and daughters. You're a son. You're a daughter of the... If you've given your life to Jesus, you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. He was pierced for that rebellion of eating that fruit way back in the day. He was pierced for that. He was crushed. This is what scriptures say, so we could be forgiven. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped. Cat of nine tails, graphic. His leg strutted out, comes around, fitted with bones and with metal, and I'm trying to be PG in this moment. But it ripped it off. It ripped all the flesh off, that even the ribs were out, the organs. They were visible. Reality, people. He was whipped so we could be healed. By his stripes, we are healed. He was rejected so you and I could be accepted. You know what was on that cross once upon a time? You go and read this. That the Father actually had to turn his back on him. We think we've been rejected. I've been rejected many times. I suffered quietly from rejection. But I was never rejected like that. God has never turned his back on me. Doesn't matter where you are today, he will never turn his back on you, because he sent his son Jesus to die on that cross for you and for me, no matter where you are, no matter what the biggest sin is, Jesus still loves you. He bore our shames so we could wear his righteousness. Are you walking in his righteousness today? What is righteousness, JJ? Right living. Just put it that way. Right living. Are you walking in that? And my next question. Jesus, Son of Man, the ultimate Lamb. Why? Why? Well, last week and this week, this is where the two messages come together. They morph together. They collide beautifully. You see, if Jesus lived as God, untouched by human limitation, his sacrifice wouldn't mean anything to us and for us. But because he lived as Jesus, the Son of Man, fully human yet sinless, his death was legally valid in God's terms, in the supernatural realm. He was legally valid to pay for humanity's death. God's justice demanded a human life. God's mercy provided one, his son, for you and for me. And this is what John meant when he cried out, "Behold, behold, behold the Lamb of God." He wasn't just saying, hey folks, look at Jesus. He wasn't saying that. You know what he was saying? He was saying, look at the solution. He was saying, look at the substitute. Maybe they didn't even get that. He was saying, look at what God has provided. He has provided the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice. Look, folks, this is the end of the separation between God and man. The beginning of forgiveness. Why? Why the blood of the Son of Man? What does that actually mean for us? Revelation 12:11 says, and they, referring to us, and they overcame him, small letter H, referring to Satan. And they, we, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. That's why the blood of the Lamb, capital L, was needed. And by the word of their testimony. You see, the blood of the Lamb isn't just about salvation. It's about overcoming the evil one and all he brings and all he stands for, which makes you and me overcomers, not victims. It's time that the church, capital T, not you, those other people, it's time that they start walking as overcomers and not victims. We all need to start walking as overcomers. We all need to start walking as sons and daughters of the Most High God. You're not just saved from sin. You are saved to reign. You are saved to reign. You are saved to reign, people. You are not just clean. You are called. You are called higher. You are called to be a son and a daughter. You are not just forgiven. You are a redeemed son. You are a redeemed daughter, clothed in righteousness, wearing his righteousness, equipped with authority. You have the ring on your finger. You have the robe on your back. You have the sandals on your feet. Even if you were a prodigal son, you ain't anymore. You are a son. You are redeemed. Clothed in righteousness. And by the blood of Jesus, the Son of Man, you are restored to God's original plan for mankind. And that is relationship with Almighty God. When I walk, I'm not walking alone. God is with me. When I sleep, I'm not sleeping alone. God is with me. When I talk, I'm not talking alone. God is with me. Where I go, he goes. Why? I am a son. And folks, identity will be our theme next month. Identity is so crucial. Identity is my forte. Identity, because I know, for I've been in ministry for over 30 years. And for many of those years, I preached from pulpits not knowing actually who I was. When I say not knowing, I knew I was a son because I'd read it, but I didn't know I was a son. And I was not walking in it. If the team can join me, that'll be amazing. So here's my challenge. Don't just believe in the Lamb. Live because of the Lamb. Don't just come to church on Good Friday and then wait for next Good Friday. Start living from this day forward as though you are a son, because you are a son and a daughter. What he did is already done for you. It's not going to happen. It's not happening one day. This is why we are gathering. That's why we are singing these songs. That's why we come together. Why wait? Why wait? Don't just admire Jesus. Follow his example. You see, the Lamb of God was sacrificed. He was sacrificed. Emphasis was sacrificed. And he has made a way. The has made the way is for now, right now. The blood of atonement has been shed. And all that is left is for you and me to live as a conqueror. You see, you can do all things. You can get through all things. You can walk up those mountains and face all things in Christ Jesus, who has modeled this life for you as a man and gives you the power. He's empowered you through the Holy Spirit. He's given you the strength through the Holy Spirit to do exactly what he did, to live that life. Every single one of us. Don't wait anymore, folks. You know what? Out there, there's wars. Out there, there's rumors of wars. And I'm not here to bring any fear, because fear is not ours. Love, power, sound mind is ours. But I do have to come as a teacher, as a pastor, as a leader, as a spiritual leader. I do have to come and just say, word of caution, my friends, word of caution, my family. Revelation is being fulfilled right now as we sit here. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, tsunamis. So we can go on. Plagues. I want to use a COVID word, but I won't because we all shudder. He's coming. Don't wait. Like us all, bow our heads. Nothing but your word. Father, I ask through the power of Holy Spirit and the precious blood of your Lamb, you will seal this word within our hearts, that we will meditate on it, that you will reveal more and more to us, and that through that, Lord, we will walk stronger and stronger as sons and daughters of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give God praise? Come on, let's give God praise, people. Let's get excited. He did something amazing.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.